Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Give me a lot of things. Give me the racing seasons. a lot of stuff going on. You know, it's kind of that lull. You know, you got the Super Bowl coming up on, I guess it's February the 9th. Here's my calendar. The seventh Sunday, which is a couple of weeks. You know, one more week, and then the seventh, then the 14th. We got the Daytona 500. Or at least the start of the racing season. I'm going to go back to the schedule there. Let me go to the NASCAR media page. And they redesigned it. The Rolex 24 is actually going to be this weekend, kicking off the speed weeks, Saturday night and Sunday. I guess this is the the audio ARCA testing at Daytona. You have Gracie Trotter, Thad Moffitt, and they changed their format. You can't just hit play. Oh wait, maybe you can. It's called download. Come on, NASCAR, ARCA.
Something comes along, hopefully.
John, you know, I had...
trying to find it. It's hard to cue this up.
With my team.
Hi, Gracie Trotter. This week, driving the number 25 car for Venerini Motorsports. And before we open it up to the rest of the media here, Gracie, I'm assuming this is your first lap at Daytona International Speedway. What were your thoughts the first time you drove out of the high banks?
My first thoughts were, I can't feel my legs. Like, going into the corners, just the G-forces are crazy. I've never felt anything like that. But my legs just felt like they got numb in the center of the corner once you felt the maximum G-forces. But I had a blast. It was so much fun that I'd say it was insane. I was texting everybody and saying, this is insane. So I had a lot of fun, and I'm just happy to be here and, you know, just getting used to the car and getting used to the big track. Like, the biggest track I was on before was Gateway last year, and that's a mile and a quarter. So this is a pretty big jump going here. You know, and feeling the aero of the car and feeling how these cars handle different at these higher speeds. Just every run out there, I'm getting used to being a little bit more smoother with my hands with the wheel, because any little movement you make here, it'll scrub off speed.
Very, very interesting. So we will open it up to members of the media. If you do have a question, just raise your hand in the chat box, and we will get it over to you as quickly as we can. I know we do have a young man joining us, and I'll throw it to him first, Judson O'Neill. Judson is a YouTuber who has done some stuff with Dirty Mo Media, GC. We're going to let him kick off with our first question. Judson, go ahead.
All right, so I want to know, since this is your first time here at Daytona, what has been the hardest about the car and the track, and what is the biggest takeaway?
The biggest thing is just kind of getting used to everything. It's a brand-new team, brand-new car, brand new track. So all in all, I'm just trying to get used to everything I can and learning these cars and communicating with my team. Another big thing is learning the draft. So I've never done that before. Even when I was at Iowa and Phoenix and Gateway, I didn't really get to experience the aero and the draft. So this is my first time ever experiencing that. And I actually had a tire go down during 2 laps in into my drafting session here. So I didn't get to draft today, so maybe we'll come back tomorrow. We don't know if we're coming back tomorrow yet or if I'm going to experience some drafting next time we come back here for our hour practice session before the race. So My biggest worry is just learning, you know, to be smooth, because like I was saying, any little movement you make with the wheel down the straightaway in the middle of the corner is huge here. So that's my biggest thing, and really, you know, not getting frustrated when you look at the time charts, because there's really nothing you can do but put your foot to the floor. So, you know, the team and you have to work together in order to, you know, execute and make the car the best that you can.
All right, Judson, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us here. We will open it up next to anyone else who has a question. Dustin with NBC Sports. Dustin, do you have a question for Gracie Trotter while we got you here?
Yes.
Go ahead if you're ready.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, Gracie, obviously there's a lot of different ways that people can work their way, their ranks up into the sport. Certainly, we've seen a lot of success with the Kyle Larsons and Christopher Bells from dirt track racing and some others. You came up through, the pavement here in the Carolinas. I'm curious, what do you feel like helped you, and what makes that still a sustainable way to climb up as people look at, like I said, the Kyle Larsons and Christopher Bells and so forth who came up through dirt?
Yeah, I think starting out on pavement, I actually started out on road course go-karts. So I raced road course stuff for the first 5 years I've ever raced. So I got to learn a lot of techniques with that and learn how to turn left and right. So after that, in 2015, I moved on to Bandoleros and Legend cars. I raced those at Charlotte. So I think it's really good getting experience on the pavement side early on. But even I've raced some dirt stuff, tested some dirt stuff here and there, because my dad always wanted me to do that, because it teaches you good car control, especially because a loose race car is a fast race car. So just being around the pavement stuff, I really think that is a big positive too for that. But just growing up around it, going, you know, to the tracks at an early age, I mean, I grew up going to Hickory Motor Speedway and Concord Speedway, so getting to watch races there as I was growing up. Hold on. A lot of noise. but spending time around the, you know, guys in pavement racing too, like I got to work with a lot of good people growing up. My dad always made sure that I was around the right people and, you know, did things the right way he thought we could. So I worked with Joe Ryan Osborne, and I got many wins with him racing and the Legend Car stuff, Kevin Cram and Bandolero stuff. And then I started working with Bonfest. So all those guys have, you know, taught me so much. They made me who I am as a driver today. So getting to work with, you know, the right people and learning the right things and moving up at the right pace, I think it's helped me a lot.
Also, I'm curious, in a lot of sports, you see athletes with a nutritionist, a mental coach, another athlete, an athletic trainer, things type of thing. I'm sure there's some elements with the Toyota Racing Development Program that provides that, but I'm curious about, you know, even at your age, are you working with a mental coach? Are you working, you know, who's, I guess in one sense, who's a part of your team that's making, you know, trying to build up Team Gracie to where, you know, you can rise through the ranks? Do you have something like that, or is that something that this is still too early of a stage for?
Yeah, I have all of the above, actually. I've done a lot. Toyota has done a lot to help us drivers execute and, you know, show our talent the best way we can. So they have actually provided us with Toyota Performance Center. It's our gym in Cornelius, North Carolina. So I work out there 4 to 5 days a week. And also we have a physical therapist that comes in. I have a lot of back problems. My back hurts a lot. So I see her at least once a week. And we also have a nutritionist, so I get with her once a week also, and we talk over the phone, and she's also the nutritionist for Houston Astros, I think. I don't know, it's one of the baseball teams. So she's really good, so she really helps me a lot with my nutrition and eating the right things before and after racing and before and after training. So that's a huge part of it, because when you're in a race car that's 170 degrees inside, you want to make sure you have the right food in your body, and also training over there. And I've been also working with a mental coach over the past year and a half now. So He's a sports psych, and you know, he's really taught me a lot on the mental side, especially in a race car, because being mentally tough in a race car, and you know, mentally telling yourself to be calm and you know, do the right things, and when you're around a lot of cars, and you got to stay calm and execute as best you can. So he's definitely really helped me out a lot with that.
Is that somebody you got through your own then, I guess, or is that something that came through Toyota, and who is that by chance?
He came in through Toyota. He's actually located in Charlotte, so I go to his office and see him. His name is Brian Monowell. I think it's Charlotte, or Sports Psychology of Charlotte, maybe.
Thank you.
Dustin, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We will go next to Brett Whittingham. Brett, go ahead whenever you're ready.
There we go. You mentioned earlier this was your first time at Daytona. I just wondered, like, what translated over from from racing at Gateway last year into Daytona, but also what surprised you the most today, just getting left at Daytona?
Honestly, it's so surreal to me to just even be here. Coming from Gateway to here was a huge jump. You know, I had the spec motor when I was over at BMR at Gateway, so I never really got to experience. This is my first time experiencing the Oval motor and getting around these cars. And so, honestly, it's a hard question to answer because I don't know. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing half the day today, but just turning the steering wheel and going to the floor. So it's a huge learning experience for me. This whole year is going to be a huge learning experience for me. I'm going to all brand new tracks, just like I did last year out west. I'm going to all brand new tracks I've never been to this year, except for Phoenix. So like I was saying, you know, I was just working on the biggest thing I was focused on was staying smooth, as smooth as I can, and trying to make the crew chief happy and not, you know, move around too much.
And another question I have is with COVID and stuff, do you feel like you're more prepared going into this season versus maybe other seasons because you probably had a little bit more time?
Yeah, I had a lot of, over the off season, I stayed pretty busy. I was in the gym most of my off season. I didn't get too much of a break and rest. But, I definitely feel more prepared going this season. This deal kind of came up really quick. So I was kind of late on getting everything finished up, getting my new suits done, getting my shoes and everything ready. So it actually came together really fast. We were only supposed to do 5 races of entry, and then we got some more sponsorships that came along. So it's all happened kind of fast. So I did have to get everything kind of prepared really quick in the last 2 weeks here. But I'm just really happy to be here and grateful to have this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Brett. We'll go next to Chris Bishop. Chris, go ahead whenever you're ready.
How you doing, Gracie?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Couple quick questions for you today. Just recently you announced the races that you're picking up for the series. Is there any opportunity for you, and you did just touch on sponsorship, is there an opportunity for you to run the full season if you have the additional sponsorship?
Yeah, as of right now, we are actually searching for sponsorship to run the next 6 races. So we have 6 races that have sponsorship from Mobile One, and then we're trying to find – we're working on some sponsorships for the either 4 or 6 more races of Venturini. So – yeah, our problem right now is definitely sponsorship. We just don't have, you know, the money to go do the full season right now.
Very good. And then a follow-up question. I think you had about 53 laps today. How many of those laps in did it take you to realize I'm on the track, I'm in Daytona, I'm comfortable?
I actually said those exact same words probably about my 3rd or 4th session. I was going down the back stretch. I'm like, looking around like, man, I'm at Daytona, running left, and we're fast. So, definitely, like I was saying, it's pretty surreal to be here to me. But it was about session 3, I was out there, tunnel vision started going away a little bit. I'm like, man, I'm actually at Daytona.
Very good. Looking forward to seeing your race this year.
Thank you.
The long back straightaway there, isn't it, Gracie?
It is.
A lot of time to start thinking about it.
I remember at Gateway, my first lap around there, I'm like, man, I just broke through Facebook.
Don't do that. We'll go next to Right, right. We'll go to Luis Torres. Luis, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hey, Gracie. Well, you mentioned that this is kind of like a whirlwind experience at Daytona, that track that, of course, your idol AJ Foyt won and all that. You mentioned that, or included, that it was all last minute. Just describe the mindset you have to go through to kind of go from, like, oh, this is going to happen right now. How do you adapt to that quick change?
When I first got the call from Daytona saying, hey, you know, we found you some open archer races with Ventrini this year, and he's like, is this race probably Daytona? And I'm like, are you talking about, like, is there another Daytona race throughout the year? Like, I didn't think they put me my first race of the year in Daytona, and I've only had, you know, about 15 archer races so far. So I was like, he's like, my first race is, you know, I'm like, okay, wow, this is crazy. You know, I didn't really know how to feel, but I was calling my dad and my mom, telling everybody, like, guys, I think I'm going to Daytona. But, and everyone is freaking out, so it's really cool to be here.
Thank you.
There we go. It's always good to talk when you're not on mute. And so we've been joined by Deb Williams at RacingToday.com. Deb, do you have a question for Gracie? You're on mute too, Deb.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while to be off, you know.
Right.
Hey, Gracie, glad to see you at Daytona.
What? You get myself out of there? Okay, can you hold on? Hold on one second. We're getting okay. Out of the track.
Where was that?
We're planning an interview.
Yeah, that graduate pretty soon, aren't they, Gracie?
Planning an interview here with Venerini Motorsports driver for the year, a couple of races, Gracie Trotter. She did win in the Arca Menards East, I believe, or West last year. So she's moving up the ladder, running, I think she said, six races with Venerini. She's got some talent. She's going to be joining the list with Haley Deegan and Natalie Decker. So we've got to watch these young ladies coming up. More with Gracie Trotter.
I think the garage area actually closed at 5:30, so the officials are probably giving her a hard time there, Deb. Sorry about that.
No problem. I had a hard time getting on, so that's
my apologies. My apologies. Well, I appreciate you joining us.
No, thank you.
You have a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup today, Charlie?
I've had a couple of those Reese's Peanut Butter Cups today, Casey. How about that?
Yeah, that's quite the deal.
All right, I'm good.
All right, Gracie, we'll let you take it back over. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Gracie, you've already been asked this. I apologize. I had trouble getting on the conference. But coming to Daytona this year, coming in with Venturini and all, what are some of your biggest adjustments that you see that you're going to have to make in this quick transition here?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, going to a new team, like I was saying, new car, new track. So, you know, I don't really know what to expect. And I said the same thing last year going into the ARCA season because it was just such a big jump for me, something brand new. Going away from home and going out west and racing all those brand new tracks I've never been on either. So, you know, it's going to be a huge learning experience for me, and going to go to every race and listen to everybody I can, pick everybody's brains, and listen to my spotter and my crew chief. And it's just going to be another learning year for me again, you know, going to everything brand new. So, just like I was saying, learning, a huge learning year.
Right. Well, what have advice have you received about running in the draft?
Well, they all say just stay in the throttle and you'll suck up to them and your car will slow down and you'll start drafting. So, you know, I didn't really get to do that today because my tire went down the second lap out there when we started the draft. So, you know, I don't really know what to expect. So they just said listen to your spotter and listen to your crew chief, and once you get out there, you'll be fine. So that's all I know so far.
Okay. Well, what were some of the issues or differences, I should say, about how the wind affected your car today that you noticed?
You know, I was kind of too focused on, you know, I still had tunnel vision in the first half of the day and, you know, just getting used to the car and getting used to the track and going those high speeds. So I did feel wind over and coming out of turn four, going into turn four at the last half of the day. So I felt like I had higher RPMs going through there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all I could notice. Maybe I noticed it another time, but I'm not really sure.
Okay. Thank you, Gracie.
Thank you.
Look forward to watching your race this year. Good luck.
Thank you.
Gracie, I greatly appreciate you joining us. I can tell they're trying to get you out of the garage area.
Yeah.
We'll let you go. We look forward to having you on with us. Hey, by the way, you're driving the car that won this race last year. Does that put any pressure on your shoulders?
Yeah, a little bit. But I know I have a good crew chief with me, and, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can to execute and do the best I can with what I have. And I trust him and trust my spotter, so I think we'll have a good race.
All right. Well, you and I had a lot of fun last year out on the West Coast. I'm really hoping to see you perform just as well here in the ARCA Menards Series. Best of luck to you the rest of the weekend, and good luck when we get back here in February.
Thank you. Thanks,
you
everyone.
It. You got it. Thanks so much, Gracie.
All right. Bye.
And we are also joined by another young man that I am very happy to see. It's been a while since I've seen him. Thad Moffitt, driver of the number 46 car, fourth generation member of the Petty family. Thad, do you ever get tired of hearing that, fourth generation member of the Petty family?
Not really. I was getting ring to it.
I like it, man.
It's a good family to be a part of, right?
Exactly. I was going to ask, how was the Petty family Christmas this year? You guys have a nice time with the family, or were we all in quarantine away from one another?
No, it was. We still had family Christmas, but we all wore masks, so it was weird. Our voices were a little muffled, so maybe Grandpa didn't have to take his ears out this year. They weren't as loud. You know, the Petty family, we all speak pretty loud voices that carry, so we'll just talk over each other, and it was even worse with the mask this year. But
I think 60 years of being around race cars will do that to someone's eardrums, huh?
Yeah, probably so.
So let's talk about racing a little bit. How is your race car out there today?
Our single car speed is phenomenal. I think the only two cars that we saw that were faster than us single car was the 23 and the 18. They both had really, really good single car speed, and we were probably a tenth off of them. And then I feel like we were faster than the Venturini cars. We were faster than our teammate for sure. And in the draft we suck up well, but there's like a buffer, let's say a half a car to a quarter of a car when you get in that air bubble. And we're having trouble breaking that bubble. Like, our car kind of stalls out once you get, like, a half a car back of the car in front of you, and we're having trouble. So that's what we worked on this afternoon, getting to people's bumpers a little bit better. And we did some stuff on the front end to kind of work at the air a little bit, because our car is phenomenal. It drives great. Single car speed is there. We just need a little bit more in the draft to be we're competitive right now, but to win a race, we're going to need a little more.
So is that kind of like the old Chad Knaus theory, where if you're good single car speed, you should be just fine in the draft, and it's just making those little fine adjustments to get that car comfortable when you're in a big pack?
Yeah, I think that Chad has that theory, and so does every other crew chief in the garage. You should be there in the draft, you know, and I think we're there. We're pretty stout. I think we were in two groups that were like the two fastest drafting groups this afternoon, and we ended up somewhere inside the top 10. I don't know where, but we ended up pretty good on the day. I feel like there's just a little bit more that we can tweak to kind of get it where we need to be.
So I would say you weren't too bad third on the speed charts. Not too shabby.
Yeah, not too bad, I guess. I said that we were third fastest car, so I guess that's where we should be, right?
But we will open it up to questions. I know Casey Campbell is itching to get in here and throw out his first question of 2021. Casey, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Well, I haven't talked to this kid in like noon, and it's been a good few months. How are you? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Casey? It's always good to hear your voice.
Yeah, that's always good, man. it is always good to hear him because I'm currently battling something, but we'll get to that later. Anyway, you know, going into this season, do you know what your plans are for 2021?
Yeah, so we've front-loaded this season, so we're going to run the first 12, very similar to what we did last year. So Performance Plus has probably cut their sponsorship to a quarter of what they've been doing. But fortunately, Aqua Chem Packs, the clean packs company that was on my car in Memphis, has went from one race to eight races, or seven full races with one co-branded race. So that we are very fortunate to get them on for multiple races this season. And we're going to try and front load the season, so hopefully maybe we can get some feet on the ground of potential sponsors, because it's tough to sell sponsorship when you can't bring the people to the track and they can see it. When they can see it, it's much easier to get them to buy into it. You know, we had the Clean Packs people at Daytona last year, and they decided to do Memphis, and then Memphis went well, and they decided to do eight more races this year. So hopefully we can get through August. I think the first 12 carries us to August, and then hopefully get the back half of the season. Coming into the season, we had high hopes. If Performance Plus would have stayed where they were at, we were hoping to run the full season and do five truck races. So I went ahead and got all my tests done and certified for the truck stuff. So if something comes along, hopefully we can run a handful of truck races this year with David. But we will be a DGR for all 12 races.
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, coming to Daytona, you've been in this race. This is your third ARCA race at Daytona, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
What do you feel like you've learned, like maybe some of the biggest things that you've learned here at Daytona over the years?
And there's a lot I've learned. I've been in the front. I've qualified second. I've started dead last. I've finished fifth. I've backed into the wall. So, I mean, I've pretty much covered all my bases here at Daytona already. So hopefully this is the year that we can win one. But one of the biggest takeaways that I didn't really notice the very first couple times I ran that I noticed really big now, that I've been out there a few times, is hiding your spoiler, how big of a difference it makes if you can hide the right side of your spoiler. Because the more air that gets on the right side of your spoiler, the more you're going to go slow. So if you can kind of stay left, like tucked on that yellow line, and everybody's popping out a little bit, you'll definitely be faster and be able to hold that much better. And it doesn't give anybody the opportunity to root you up off the bottom and kind of push you out of line. My only friend in the race this year, since I don't have a teammate, will be that yellow line. So hopefully we can make something happen.
All right, Dan. Always good to talk to you, buddy, and I promise I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Dan.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the questions.
Well, now I want to hop in a race car so I can go out there and be your drafting buddy. It's going to be Jeremy Longley out there, man. How's that going to work?
Yeah, I know. Last year we had three of them, and
right.
This year I have Taylor at the test, luckily, to work with me, and I'm sure I'll have a few friends that I can make a few friends out there through the field, you know. But because I'm not the only one, Ty doesn't have a teammate. Brett Holmes never really has a teammate. But I think that we worked with the 18-23 today a lot drafting, and all of our cars did pretty well out front. All of us did pretty well in the middle, and all of us did pretty well in the back. So I think that if we can carry that into the race, you never know. You can't trust everybody, you know. Especially they're going to do what they need to do, and put in that situation, I would do what I needed to do. So I don't blame them anything if I get hung out or however that is going to play out. I guess we'll just have to wait a month and see how it works, right?
That's the way to go. Make friends out there as a fast race car, buddy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, Deb Williams, you have a question for Thad Moffitt? Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yeah, hey, Thad. It's good seeing you again.
It's good seeing you too, Deb.
You mentioned you've been certified to run in the truck series. If you get your sponsorship, would that be with DGR, or who would that be with?
So it would be a DGR truck. Our first goal right now is to get the complete ARCA season, hopefully run for a championship. But secondly, we would like to run hopefully a handful of truck races, if at all possible. But that would definitely be out of David Shaw.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good luck. Hope you get sponsorship for everybody. Thank you.
I'm with you on that one. I want to see you run all 20 of them this year, pal.
Yes, sir. We've tried for 3 years now.
No way. We got to make this happen.
We ran what? We ran like fifth in the points up until the last couple of races. Like, we were in contention all year. And then just unfortunate not to be able to finish. But
this is the way of the world these days.
Hard sport.
That's it, baby. We'll go to the next to Brett Whittingham. Brett, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I asked Gracie this earlier, but do you feel more prepared going into this season with COVID and everything than you have in previous seasons, given that you probably had more time to sit around and stuff?
I feel prepared. I feel very well prepared. I have got a lot more practice during off seasons previously before COVID. You could kind of go run when you wanted to. The tracks were open. You could go wherever, you know. I ran some more stuff in the off season, but I have been to plenty of schools. One of my main focuses during this off season has been road course racing, because NASCAR has added in so many road courses, and that's my ultimate goal. To make it there, I'm going to have to learn how to road course race, my very first ever one was the Daytona Road Course last year. Well, we ran pretty well. I ended up spinning myself out running six, which was unfortunate. But we ran well at the Daytona Road Course. We had a fast car, just mental mistakes that I need to minimize, and I think we can run good there. But coming into the season, I definitely feel prepared. I wouldn't say I'm more prepared because of COVID, especially being that we're not going to get to the same amount of practice and qualifying and everything at every track, I know. But I think that I definitely am prepared for the season.
All right, we'll go next to my buddy Justin O'Neill. Justin, go ahead whenever you're ready. Thad Moffitt, bud.
Hey, Thad. So how you doing today? And this is my first time on a ARCA conference thing, so it's a learning experience for me. I'm sure like it has been for you today at Daytona. And so I just – my question is, I know you've probably been asked this question a million times, but being grandson of the seven-time Daytona 500 winner, how does that help you at this track?
I've been asked that question multiple times. You're correct. And it's good to have you on. I'm glad that you were able to join and be here today. But I think that it's beneficial to me to have so much family history at this track. And not just my grandpa, but my uncle, he won here. My great-grandpa won here. Everybody who's run, I mean, even our car to this day, Bubba, when he was in the 43, ran well here, and so did Eric won a race here. So I think it's beneficial to have people that have won races here and know how to win here in my ear, kind of telling me what to do, talk through it. Daytona's a lot of give and not a lot of take. And people don't realize that. If you try and take like you do on a short track, you're going to end up wrecking the whole field, and that's what usually happens. And as long as you can avoid that, if somebody's trying to get in line and it's lap 10, let them in line. I mean, and people don't realize that. They don't realize that one spot at that time doesn't really matter. But I think that being that he is my grandpa and he's had a lot of success, not only here but everywhere, I feel like he's a really big influence on me and helps me a lot through the races. He's definitely the first one to tell me when I mess up, for sure, and the last one to tell me when I do something right, but that's what grandpas do, right?
Yeah, and so another thing, too, I'm sure this is on the same page as the Ask a Million Times question. So are you ever, like, pressured by them to do well and succeed at all?
So all the pressure that I feel is pressure that I put on myself. I know with him being my grandpa, I definitely have big shoes to fill, but he doesn't put any pressure on me. You know, everything, I know that he's going to love me whether I flip burgers or drive race cars. He's just that kind of man. He's really a really, really special person. And so he doesn't really put any pressure on me at all. All the pressure is just me wanting to succeed and wanting to fill those shoes and be successful and add on to the family legacy.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Justin, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you being here. We have one more question for Thad, and we will go next to Chris Bishop. Chris, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Thad. After seeing Judson's hair there, I wanted to say, what's the length on your hair this year? What are you going into the season with?
I got a little bit in quarantine, a little bit of hair going, but nothing like I had last February. You know, we donated right before the Daytona race last year. I ended up donating 9.5 inches to Children with Hair Loss, which is in Michigan. It's a really cool company. You know, everybody does Fox for Love. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I thought that was really, really cool. And actually, I ended up donating some of it to Charles for the spot on the back of his head. He needed
getting bigger by the second, too, buddy. That's why I'm wearing a hat.
Being from Michigan, I appreciate that. So thank you on that side as well. Secondary question, you had mentioned sponsorship and how much of a challenge that's been. With the races that you have and hoping to be able to fill out that schedule, is it helpful to see with some of the announcements, even like today, you know, Reese's jumping in with the ARCA series. You know, we see Pitbull, you know, getting into the Cup series. We see a lot of new influx or even old partners that are coming back. Does that help you to really feel that we're going to get those last races filled for a full season?
Yeah, so we have a lot of stuff in the works. A lot of companies that are reaching out wanting to do one race deals or three race deals and see kind of how it goes, just get their feet wet, you know. And we're totally open to it, but the thing about, like, closing those deals, I think, for me, is getting feet on the ground, getting those people at the track to be able to see how big of an influence it has on the fans, how big of an influence it has on other people. I think if they can get there and see how day-to-day operations work for us, I think it's much easier for them to make that commitment and write that check for us. But I think with companies coming in, especially to the ARCA series, with Menards being one of the biggest sponsors, the B2B opportunity is definitely bigger. And luckily, my team at RPM and DGR have been really, really good about closing those B2B deals, which keep our partners. Like, we haven't had a single partner that came to us and then left. They have just came to us and then maybe minimized their sponsorship because they had a rough year with COVID, but we haven't had any partners that came to us and then came back to us and said, hey, we're leaving to go somewhere else or anything like that. We've been really, really fortunate so far. So as long as we can keep closing those B2B deals and show other people, other companies, hey, man, this is what we're doing for other companies, then I think it can happen for sure.
Absolutely. How many races did you have today?
None yet, but I plan on having a few.
I recommend the Pounders. They're a little bit tougher to get through, so.
They would have slowed me down, man. Left side late.
I think that's dinner right there for you, Chris.
Oh, I'm 8 ounces through the 16, so.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate your support, man.
Thank you. And look forward to seeing you this year, Thad.
Yeah, Chris. Good talking to you.
Well, Thad, nice job today. Go get them tomorrow, and we look forward to getting back here in a few weeks and hopefully having you etch your name on that Champions Trophy for this ARCA 200 and becoming the fourth generation Petty to win at Daytona. How about that?
Yeah, that would be awesome, right?
All right. Appreciate you joining us, buddy. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys having me.
You got it. Thank you. All right, and we are going to go next to the driver who is fastest in testing today. Derek Lancaster has joined us. We're going to see if we can get his video started here, and we will bring him on with us. While we're waiting for him to join us, Judson, how you doing? You hanging in there?
Yes, sir, I am. I appreciate you coming on. Let me come on. I'm still nervous on this end, but
at
the same time.
We appreciate you being here, pal. And I see that Derek popped on there for a second. There we go. See if I can get him on here. There he is, Derek Lancaster. Just a weekly short track racer from the Mid-Atlantic region, and you're on top of the board at Daytona International Speedway. How's it feel, man?
feels awesome, man. You know, my team is all volunteer help, like the old days, you know. Just, this isn't something I'm used to.
Exactly right. I was going to ask you, you're normally competing on these little 3/8 mile and maybe a big track in that part of the country is a half mile. And you're here at Daytona with a pickup crew. This is a car that you own, and you're taking it to Joe Gibbs Racing and Venerating Motorsports. You're on top of the leaderboard. How did you make that happen today?
Well, you know, we've surrounded ourselves with a lot of good people that have a lot of knowledge in North Carolina. We're just a small team out of Virginia. All of my guys are volunteer. You know, they all work full-time jobs, and we come in at 5 o'clock and work late into the night. We spend time away from all of our families. You know, then we decided, you know, I've got one guy, Don Akers, that takes care of 95% of everything we do, from the short track stuff to the ARCA stuff. He and I decided that, you know, he didn't want to call a race. He wanted to hire Marcus Richmond, so that's another plus on our side. We hired Marcus. We hired two very friends that's got a lot of experience in racing, and we went from there.
Well, Marcus Richmond is one of the best in the business, and there's no doubt that he's going to help guide you through that 200-miler coming up here in a couple of weeks. We've already got some people who have questions for you. We'll go back to Chris Bishop. Chris, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi, Derek. Thank you for joining us today. You ran 29 laps in the 29 car, basically had the fastest car by a half second today. How does that make you feel? And does that kind of make you look even more past Daytona of what's next?
Yes, it does. I mean, I have a business that I can't be gone all the time to come out racing. You know, that's how I fund this operation. We do this as a hobby. You know, it's not a full-time gig for me. You know, it's all about my friends and family having fun. You know, we plan on running a lot more races this year, but, you know, this might just cap it off to where we run even more.
Well, congratulations. It was great to see you on that speed chart today, and I look forward to seeing you on the track.
Thank you very much.
All right, Derek, we will go next to Luis Torres with the podium finish. Luis, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. So, being the fastest man at Daytona, you mentioned the volunteers. Just describe how gratifying is it, considering, from what I understood, you went through a lot of circumstances to get from what happened a year ago to now where you're at with so much confidence.
Well, I mean, you know, 6 months ago, I thought my racing career was over. You know, my racing career is a lot different. I'll be 47 or 48 when we come back in February. You know, this is a hobby to me. I love race, and I love the old school racers. There's a lot of people I grew up watching. You know, I love being able to come here. It means a lot to run in the history of Daytona. It's just hard for me to explain what my family has gone through in the last 6 months, and for me to be cleared to come back after having a basal skull fracture, it means a lot.
Thank you, and of course, best of luck with tomorrow and the upcoming season, whichever races that might be.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Derek, we'd love to have you at all 20 of them, man. We know how hard it is to, you know, when this is just a hobby, we know how hard it is just to make it to one, but we certainly appreciate you joining us at Daytona. So what was it like out there for you today? Let's go through that fast lap. I'm assuming this was in the draft. So who did you hook up with to get that quick time in the draft?
You know, this is my sixth or seventh time here. And you can experience it every time you're on a racetrack, no matter where you're at. You know, if anybody tells you they're not learning something every time, they're lying to you. You know, like I said earlier, what we've done is I've got one guy that works a full-time job, and he eats, breathes, sleeps racing. He loves it. That's his passion. You know, Don Akers puts in a lot of time for this. You know, it's hard for me to really tell people what it means to us. It's a difficult thing and very emotional.
So for those who don't know, it was a tough year for you last year and maybe didn't expect to be back in the race car. If you don't mind, just kind of recap the events of last season that have brought you to where we're at right now.
You know, we had big plans for last year. We had built a new R&S race car to run late model. We were going to come to Daytona. Then we ended up, my business got very busy and we didn't come. Then, you know, we were 3 or 4 months there when my business was slow. We were, you know, we didn't know if we were going to be able to race. Our local racetrack, which is Motor Mile Speedway, they didn't open. Then we ended up traveling to Kingsport Speedway, and, you know, I'd won there the previous year. Then we went back and traveled, and we just kept missing that little hint of speed that we had before. We went back to, I think, the dirt race last year that we ran there, and just in a freak accident, some cars had wrecked in front of us. I made contact with another car, and it went airborne, and it happened to just hit at the wrong spot. It was actually August the 7th, 2020. We hit. I thought I was okay. I climbed out of the car, and my son-in-law seen a big knot come up on my neck, and I'd walked around. I was sore. Walked back to the holler, and then they decided that something didn't look right in my neck. They took me to the hospital there in Kingsport, Tennessee, between Kingsport and Bristol. And they discovered that I had a C1 that was 3/4 fractured. I ended up in ICU for 5 or 6 days. Went home, wore a collar for 3 months. They advised me that I'd never be in a race car again. That was very emotional to me and my family. But it's not nearly as emotional as it is to my family for me to come back here now. But, you know, then all the COVID stuff going on, it's just 2020 has been a terrible year, and I hope 2021 is a lot better.
Well, it seems to me like 2021 is starting off all right for you, man. It's a great way to get it started. Chris, do you have another question?
I do. Derek, you had mentioned, you know, the tough 2020, the injury. What does that mean? And you had mentioned you've been to Daytona before. This isn't new. But then coming back to Daytona this year, having the success, you know, I realize it's day one, but having the success that you had today, tell me about what that really means to you and to your family to have that success and to really open up the promise that could be there for this year.
Well, you know, my wife and 3 daughters mean the world to me. I've got a granddaughter that's coming within the next few days. I'm going to be a grandfather. To be honest with you, they're upset that I'm here. My mother and father are upset that I'm here. They wanted me to go on and just quit racing and maybe be an owner and do something different. And that may be what I end up doing in the near future. You know, I promised them a long time ago I would retire when I was 50 and not drive anymore. You know, I got to see where everything leads me. I think, you know, my phone hadn't stopped ringing since we went to the top of the board here, but there's a lot of good cars here. I think we were very fortunate. Ty and myself hooked up, and we ran those cars down from a good ways back. So we just got to see what holds tomorrow and what holds when we come back in February.
Very good. I assume that you'll get to go and have a nice sit-down dinner tonight with your team and your volunteers. Enjoy that tonight. Being at the top of the charts, you deserve it. And thank you for coming back.
Yes, hey, we want to thank you all. You know, we just hope racing keeps gaining popularity. You know, that's what we want. Every racer out here wants as many people as they can get in the stands. And you know, NASCAR's took a bad hit, just like ARCA and everybody else this year. This COVID, I'll be glad when it's over.
It's over, Derek. You know what we all. Well, you know, Derek, when you're 50 and you promise to retire, Judson O'Neill will be 15 and finally eligible to come compete here in the ARCA Menards Series. Maybe we'll have to hook you two up and work on a driver development contract. Judson, do you have a question for Derek while we got you here?
Yeah, now it should be my question. Can I drive for you soon? Because that should be my question. But I want to know,
How does the speed and sensation compare to like your short tracks and stuff and like here?
You just have to, you know, you have to really be careful here. Things happen a whole lot quicker here, and you've got to, you know, car control is a lot, but the car control is like this everywhere on a short track and here. But you just got to, things happen so fast at Daytona and Talladega, and just watch what happens.
And so one more thing I'd like to know. So how big is the side draft with these big composite cars?
Oh, today I learned more today than I've learned in my last six, seven, eight visits here. You know, I've got a teacher that I can't tell a whole lot about that's telling me stuff. But, you know, as long as you can stay sucked up to the car in front of you and then stay as close as you can to it until you get to this door and then try to pull away, stuff I've done today is very big to what I've learned in the past.
Yeah, it's always going to be a great experience coming. Well, hopefully it will be. It depends how the race is going for you when you come here to the World Center Racing. But I was sitting at school, like, I know you guys probably don't believe me, but the whole day when I was at school, we have our school iPads, and every, like, 5 minutes, I would go to the website, and I would refresh and see who was on the top of the leaderboard all day long. And so it was the end of the semester, so I just had a bunch of free time. That's the whole thing I did. I just sat there and stared at the leaderboard, and I saw your name on there, and I was like, oh, I was looking forward because I knew I was going to be a part of this, and I was really looking forward to talking to you. But great job today.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you, and good luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
Justin, you better pay attention in school. Your parents are going to yell at you like I yell at my son for goofing off during school.
Here's the thing. Well, I have almost always, and I had free time because this was the end of the semester, so I'm innocent here. The teacher told me I had free time, so I have evidence.
Yeah, that's what my son says to me too, pal. Chris, I see you have your hand up. Chris Knight, go ahead with your this will be the final question for Dash Lancaster. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hey, Garrett, I apologize. I was on a conference call, so I apologize if the question's already been asked, but I know that you've been obviously a force to be reckoned with on the super speedways, and you have a number of cars. Are you planning to come back with just one car and one driver for the season opener, or is it realistic that you maybe, if things develop, maybe with Josh Berry or something along the line, you could come back and be more than just a one-car team for the season opener?
You know, we're in negotiations with Josh. He's wanting to get experience for the Xfinity race, which he's running for Dale Jr. Chase is not old enough to run this year, but we will be back with Chase next year. You know, we have a seat that's open. We struggled a little bit with those two cars today. We've had some problems, some binding up issues that we're working on. We hope to get better with those tomorrow. Josh ran over something early and knocked a hole in a radiator, so we had to change all that. That took a lengthy amount of time. And, you know, I'm looking at a rental deal in the near future, but I just, right now, we have some stuff open. We actually have a fourth car back to the shop, but we don't want to take that chance of bringing it. We would like to, if Josh wants to come back, is just try to cut back and do a two-car race, see how it goes. I think Josh and I would run good together, but we just got to see what happens.
Cool. Thanks for your time, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Well, Derek, I'll just pair what everybody else said. Congratulations on a great day. We're happy to have you here, man, especially after all you went through last season. Glad you're out here having fun. And hey, let's, for us 45-plus-year-olds, let's come back here in February and take it to those kids, all right?
I hope we're lucky enough to do that. You just got to be careful here and stay out of trouble. And like Thad said, it's a whole lot of give and a lot less take. You got to be very smart here. I've learned a lot of lessons. We've had cars very fast every time we've been here, and the luck just hadn't went my way. And I hope after what all I went through last year, and maybe my luck's a little different.
There you have it, our interviews with the ARCA Series drivers, Gracie Trotter, Thad Moffitt, and Derek there. So, anyway, that's our show for today. See you all next week. Can't wait for this racing season to get here. And don't forget, check out the They Still Live podcast on YouTube. We were doing it on Anchor FM in the audio version. Now we're in video, so you get to see my ugly face. Hosted by Jeff Sandor, who race fans, if they caught NASCAR, the history of speed, he played Dale Earnhardt. So, that's right. I did meet the real Dale Earnhardt, but I tried to get him to do an interview, but didn't work out. But I did get his son, so that before he got to the Cup Series. Anyway, I'm Vinny B. See you all next week. Bye now.